InvestorIdeas.com podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of InvestorIdeas.com podcast. In today's podcast, I'll be going over a few industry announcements, some of the changes that the NBA has had to their drug testing policies, as well as some upcoming events that are coming this week. So for announcements, starting with MediPharm Labs Corporation, trading on the TSX as Labs and the OTCQX as MEDIF, as well as Vivo Cannabis Incorporated, trading on the TSX as Vivo and the OTCQX as VVCIF, have announced the completion of the previously announced plan of arrangement under Section 192 of the Canada Business Corporations Act, pursuant to which MediPharm has acquired all of the issued and outstanding common shares of Vivo in an all-equity business combination transaction, which was effective on April 1st. The arrangement combines two highly complementary businesses, which will create a unique and market-differentiating international cannabis market leader, supposedly. So some of the key transaction highlights will include the acquisition of Vivo, which will add the established Australian and German medical cannabis brand Beacon Medical, through Canna Farms, which was the first licensed producer in British Columbia, and its medical sales channel, Canna Farms Medical, which has supported over 60,000 patients since 2014. Following the arrangement, the platform will provide patients with a more diverse product portfolio that includes existing MediPharm products. We're also going to see that the company will be covering European and Asia Pacific markets through the established revenue generating agreements. The Vivo Napanee, Ontario facility is EU GMP certified, and the MediPharm Barrie, Ontario facility is GMP certified. Commenting on this, we're very excited to be starting a new chapter in the evolution of MediPharm Labs. Vivo is a strong cultural fit and a great strategic fit. Together, the two organizations have a much clearer path to profitability. And I want to welcome all of the Vivo employees and thank the teams on both sides that worked over many months to help bring us together, said David Paduk, the Chief Executive Officer of MediPharm. So this announcement has been a long way coming. I'm sure most people paying attention have been expecting this, but I do think it's just interesting to note that this is more of a focus on the medical aspect of the industry. I've talked a lot about how what you're seeing is, in general, as recreational markets expand, more and more companies are looking more into recreational and less into medical. Through this acquisition, MediPharm and Vivo combined will be able to cover a broader medical range, both in Canada as well as abroad. They'll also have a broader product portfolio. There's a lot of different, obviously, positives to the aspect that you can look at. If you look at the links attached in the article, increase their balance sheet, etc. But I do think that in general, it's just nice to see that there's obviously a focus still on medical and that there is a lot of expansion and growth within that market that still is vastly untapped. Again, I do think that there's kind of different business models, obviously, and there's a lot of the interviews we've had in the past who have talked about this, where you're looking at medical, it has to kind of go more of the pharma route, and when you're looking at recreational, it has to go more to a CPG route. And obviously, that's what a lot of the companies who have been successful in both those spaces have been traditionally doing. But like I said, it is good to see that there still is a focus on medical, even though recreational has taken the majority of sort of business attention. But it'll be interesting to see what this does with the combined company. So as a result of the arrangement, Vivo has become a wholly owned subsidiary of MediPharm, and the Vivo shares are anticipated to be delisted from the TSX on or about April 4th. So that'll be coming out tomorrow. And again, something to pay attention to over the next year or so to see how this company continues to develop, which markets they actually do gain access to and also can compete in. Again, there's a lot of talk about the European markets, especially with Germany really expanding their programs now. But in general, in the past, we haven't seen a huge amount of success with Canadian businesses working in Europe. Yes, they have been doing it. They've been providing a lot of cannabis. When you're comparing that to other sectors of the business, it's not a huge success story, and it still has a lot of work and a lot of sort of bureaucratic red tape to get through for that industry to really take off. Again, there's a lot more difficulties when you're looking at the medical side of the industry versus the recreational for obvious reasons, but it still is, I think, where the industry needs to put at least a decent percentage, if not half of their focus towards, just because that is what really pushes the agenda of legalization in a broader scale, and it does kind of create the best results when you're looking at actually impacting people's lives in a positive way and showing sort of positive data and proof of the cannabis being legalized concept, which Unfortunately, today is still, highly debated in lots of states. I mean, not lots of states. There is only really a few holdouts left. But even within those states, there still is a discussion over, you know, cannabis legalization. How is this going to push forward? And federally, that discussion is still happening, both in the U.S. and many other nations around the world. And it does require a lot of that medical data to be pushed forward. So MediPharm, now with Vivo, will definitely be a company to pay attention to over the next year or so to see how they develop. Hopefully, it will develop in a positive way, because I do think most people are rooting for medical to at least have a decent business model, because that will attract more pharmaceutical companies, which isn't necessarily a great thing for, I think, sort of the ethics or the morality side of the industry, but it is a good thing as far as moving legalization in the right direction. And if you don't have the support of sort of the pharma industry broadly, then it's never really going to happen on the large scale medical scale, which I think is what people want long term, is to have the option of going to really any medical center around the world and being able to get prescription cannabis. Moving away from the medical side of the industry and straight into the recreational side, obviously 420 is coming up this month, so companies are already getting ready for it. Kiva Convections, California's market leader in premium award-winning cannabis edibles, recently announced a partnership with the iconic burger chain Fatburger for this coming 420 holiday season to release a limited edition cannabis-infused Kiva and Fatburger ketchup. Now, the first of its kind cannabis ketchup will be available for a limited time only beginning April 6th at participating Artist Tree and Sweet Flowers, Los Angeles locations, and encourages consumers to heighten their favorite munchies. Fatburger's famous burgers and french fries, while furthering Kiva's mission to continue the conversation around cannabis normalization in California and beyond. Now, the partnership between the two nationally recognized brands supports the increased interest around cannabis. Currently, recreational cannabis sales continue to grow in over 20 states across the U.S., and the number of cannabis users in the country is predicted to reach nearly 71 million users by 2030. As the market leader in cannabis edibles, we're thrilled to continue pioneering innovative yet everyday products that pave the way for cannabis normalization, commented Christy Palmer, co-founder of Kiva Confections. We can't think of a better partner for this than our favorite West Coast burger chain. And though the partnership may seem unconventional, Fatburger and Kiva are both California-founded and beloved institutions. And what better way for cannabis fans to celebrate 420 than with a delicious elevated munchies meal, and for the canna curious to take their first dip into cannabis one fry at a time. So the Kiva and Fatburger ketchup will feature 10 milligrams of THC per packet, making it the ultimate condiment for all of your Fatburger made-to-order burgers and fries ahead of the popular 420 holiday. And you can find out all the information by looking at, you know, either Kiva or Fatburger, or clicking the links attached in the article, or checking their Instagram pages out as well. But I do think that it's definitely a step in the right direction as far as a cool brand partnership to see for this coming 420. I do think, and I talked about this last year, that I do think in general 420 has obviously changed far away from being the sort of, grassroots counterculture movement that it obviously originated as, and now it's just become another corporate holiday similar to Valentine's Day, Easter, which is coming up right now. And a lot of the majority of North American holidays, realistically, which are always focused more on sort of capitalist and corporate sales rather than they are the actual traditional beliefs of the holiday. And 420 is definitely now kind of sitting in that same list, where it's now just a good day for cannabis businesses to promote their products and do brand partnerships like this. I do think that this type of brand partnership, where you're working with a burger chain or a food company, are what we're going to start seeing a lot more of. And I do think that you're going to start to see more and more companies that aren't maybe necessarily directly even associated with cannabis start to advertise specifically for cannabis related munchies or different things for 420, because especially in the US and Canada, there's a bunch of these opportunities for them to do this, to promote their businesses, to get extra sales that day, and to really lean into the fact that it is legal in the majority of states as well as all throughout Canada. So it's good to see that someone has done this, and I do think that you're going to start to see a lot more of these partnerships. To me, the obvious first adopters are going to be food and beverage companies. It's quite easy for them to just kind of hop on the bandwagon here, promote their products as the perfect snack for when you're high on 420. And hopefully, like I said, there will be other businesses like Kiva Convections to start doing partnerships directly with these other brands, because I do think it does stress normalization and it forces people to recognize 420 as sort of everyone can enjoy holiday. And I do think that that is going to become the reality, is it's just going to become get high day essentially. And more and more people and more businesses are going to start jumping into it, as far as it's just a good marketing and branding opportunity for all of them to gain some extra sales, which businesses are never going to turn down. I know that another big thing that you're starting to see for 420 is the push towards psychedelics use. And obviously, I think that that will be still kind of run by the people who still want to continue the counterculture heritage of 420 as a holiday. But as far as the weed component, I think it's just going to become a good advertising opportunity. And this type of partnership is exact evidence of that. Now, in other recent news, the NBA will no longer be testing for cannabis, according to a tentative deal between the league and the National Basketball Players Association. The two sides announced the collective bargaining agreement, which still needs to be ratified before it becomes official on Saturday morning, according to The Athletic. Now, if this CBA is ratified by the players and the team governors, the seven-year deal would include a stipulation that cannabis will be removed from the drug testing program and the NBA players will no longer be penalized for its use. In a statement posted on Twitter, the National Basketball Players Association said specific details will be made available once a team sheet is finalized. Since day one, the goal of the NBPA is in the negotiation was to protect our players, enrich their lives on and off the court, and establish a framework that recognizes our players as true partners with the governors in both the NBA and the business world at large, NBPA Executive Director Tamika Tremaglio said in a tweet. Now, amid the pandemic, the NBA did announce in late 2021 that it would no longer randomly test players for marijuana, and obviously it's continued with that, but now you're seeing that this could be pushed into a permanent move, which seems very likely. So some NBA athletes, including Hall of Famers like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Allen Iverson, have been open about their own cannabis use and advocacy for cannabis legalization, as have other athletes from a lot of other leagues like the NFL, the MLB, the UFC, etc. Talked a lot about this in the past. We've had a lot of different interviews where we've talked to different athletes who are partnering with cannabis brands. So that's another thing that's going to be included, hopefully, within this NBA deal, is that players' endorsement and ability to basically be involved with cannabis businesses will also not be something that is penalized or has any sort of negative connections to. If you've looked, the NFL and the MLB have also created similar policies towards this, and the UFC as well has also done this. There still is, I think, a much more aggressive discussion that's going on when you're looking at the world stage. So for the Olympics, there still is going to be cannabis testing. There's no real evidence that that's going to be removed anytime soon. It seems that most countries outside of North American countries are still kind of quite stringent about that. And that is why, obviously, you want European countries as well as other countries around the world to start pushing for medical cannabis options or recreational options within their country, because that's the only way you're going to see the cannabis drug testing policy change for the Olympics and for global events as well. But right now, at least in North America, it's looking pretty good. I do think the NBA pushing this is just an obvious choice. So many of the players admit to even playing the game high. and realistically, the alternatives when you're looking at the NBA, the NFL, MLB, really any athletic association, is the alternative medicine that they're being pushed towards is opiates majority of the time. So I think that for most of them, this is a no-brainer to obviously allow for cannabis use. At least in a medicinal facet, for a lot of the players, and even just for them to enjoy the game or just to be able to live their lives. The other big issue that's just been mentioned a bunch of different times is just how the testing for cannabis works. So obviously, again, compared to other substances, cannabis lasts in your system longer. This is the same discussion that goes around driver testing when you're looking at truck drivers and a lot of other industry jobs where they do randomized drug testing. It's a very unfair comparison with cannabis and other substances. So I think that's another reason why a lot of these sports organizations are looking at removing it from any of their testing regimens. But definitely is a good sign for this season. And moving forward, I think that it'll be very beneficial. And hopefully what you'll see is to start to see, similar to what I was talking about with Kiva and Fatburger, is hopefully more NBA players being involved with cannabis businesses. You'll start to see more advertising that leaks into NBA programming eventually. There was Super Bowl ads in the past years that had cannabis ads with them. And it's still a minor side of the industry, but I do think in general it's pushing things to a more normal level. Again, Twitter is allowing cannabis businesses to advertise. So I think the biggest thing that we're starting to see now is potentially a world where cannabis businesses can advertise toe-to-toe with alcohol businesses, which has been one of the biggest complaints about the industry since day one, is that with cannabis companies, they're kind of treated like this monster company where they're not allowed to advertise or promote or sort of push their brand in any realistic way. And now you're starting to see that as more organizations realize or are kind of forced to realize that they can't keep fighting this anymore, that this is an inevitability, not an if, it's a when. And I think enough businesses have seen the writing on the wall that they're now starting to at least endorse this in small ways. So I think the next thing to start looking for from the NBA and from a lot of the different sports associations, well, it's going to be once you start to see real advertising come into play. Again, there already are a small, I would say maybe a growing number of players who have endorsement deals with different cannabis brands, but that again hasn't really been pumped within their actual associations that they're attached to. So that'll be the next big step, hopefully. And the NBA is definitely one to watch in the next year or so. And finally, in upcoming events, the Sequire Cannabis and Psychedelic Conference, which is a free virtual event, will be hosted on Wednesday, April 5th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. It will be featuring speakers from the industry's top companies in cannabis, CBD, and psychedelic space, along with keynotes and more. So you can register today. You can click the link attached in the article or visit the website for Sequire Cannabis and Psychedelics Conference. Some of the companies that will be attending will be Numinous Wellness Incorporated, trading on the TSX as NUMI, Red Light Holland, trading on the OTC as TRUFF, Mindset Pharma, trading on the CSE as MSET, Nextleaf Solutions, trading on the CSE as Oils, Clever Leaves, trading on the NASDAQ as CLVR, High Tide Incorporated, trading on the NASDAQ as HITI, and Silo Pharma, trading on the NASDAQ as Silo. So definitely something to check out this Wednesday, again, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and it is a free virtual event that you can register for now by checking out Sequire Cannabis and Psychedelic Conference. That's all for today's podcast. Enjoy the rest of your day.
That's all for today's podcast. Podcast is now a certified word trademark on the blockchain through Cognate Incorporated CM certification. InvestorIdeas.com podcasts are also available on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play Music, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, and TuneIn. If you'd like to be a guest or sponsor of this podcast, please contact InvestorIdeas.com. Investor Ideas reminds all listeners to read our disclaimers and disclosures on the InvestorIdeas.com website, and this podcast is not an endorsement to buy products or services or securities. Investors are reminded that all investments involve risk and possible loss of investment. Investor Ideas does not condone the use of cannabis except where permissible by law. Our site does not possess, distribute, or sell cannabis products.